This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and we're coming to you with Wells Tech episode 456 for August 2nd, 2016. A show where we talk about technology, ministry, where those two intersect. And joining me, as usual, podcasting partner from west of the Mississippi, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Nice to be joining you again. And we call this place I'm located Robot Central because we just came off a big week of robot camp. I just am dying to tell you guys about. So,
well, tell us about it. What tell is robot camp and who's involved?
Well, we had a group of just 12 young men and women, middle school age, that came together last week in the evening. So my husband and I kind of did a moonlighting trek of teaching them about robotics and all the things that you can do with that. He designed a robot with an Arduino controller and gave them some challenges and things. They built it themselves and then taught it to do all kinds of tricks. And we had so much fun doing it. At the same time, our friend Jason Schmidt was running robotics out in Nebraska, and I saw some video from his robot camp as well. So just saw the power of engaging these students with some of these concepts. Not only did they learn some electronics and things, but they also did programming with ArduBlock, which is a drag and drop kind of interface, a lot like Scratch, and just really neat to see them involved in this and learning different things. They added sensors to their robot, and then he taught them how to write the distance to the screen. So they were testing, you know, putting their hand in front of the robot and seeing how far away it was. And on the last night, we even did a breakout where we locked up his robot in a box, and they had to figure out all the combinations and clues and things to get it unlocked. So just all in all, a great week, and really excited for the direction STEM education is going and all the potential that these young students have ahead of them.
So here's the question that I'm sure our listeners want to know. In a Wells version of Robot Wars, yours against Jason's, who wins?
Well, you know, they both have some great characteristics. You might remember Jason talked about this, and he used he ordered a kit called the M-Bot. And so the video that I saw, they were actually controlling the M-Bot with like a remote control on cell phones. Mm-hmm. They were banging into each other, having these robot wars and stuff. And his looked a lot sturdier than ours. Now, on the other hand, ours, we designed ourselves and the kids built it and learned about, you know, motors and things. Probably he taught them the same things with the M-Bot, but they actually had more of a hacked robot. He even taught him about hacking and told him it wasn't a bad thing because the front wheel was a ping pong ball that rotated in a cup.
Yours
and allowed him.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, they learned different things, I'm sure, and both were equally rewarding.
So everybody stay tuned for an episode in the near or distant future.
Bot wars.
That's right. That's too cool. And sounds like you had as much fun as the kids did.
Oh, we did. We really did. We got in the newspaper, just giving a STEM education a lot more exposure. And the parents were all real enthusiastic about what they were seeing their students get excited about.
And you had kids coming from not just New Ulm, but from surrounding communities, right?
Yeah. We advertised it here in New Ulm in the public school and at St. Paul's, and then sent out information to all the Wells schools in the area. So we had kids from Mankato, St. James, Gibbon, and New Ulm represented. So
maybe
good
a
group
future,
of kids.
You know, possible outreach kind of activity if you can advertise it, you know, beyond just our Wells schools. That's a cool.
Yeah. We definitely had some kids there from public who had never been to MVL and their parents came and stuff. So that was
a
positive.
At Minnesota Valley Lutheran. Okay.
We did. They allowed us to use their space. So all good.
Very cool. It'd be hard to top that one, but that's neat. So is there anything next? Are you planning it again next year? Is there a part two? What's the plan? What's the curriculum look like?
Yeah, there was a lot of interest. He asked the kids. I think they all voted that next summer it'd just be Bot Wars all in, you know, straight out. That was what ended up. He had brought kind of an arena of 2x4s to make a circle for them, to make their robots not hit the walls and things like that. And they ended up using little jimmies, our little printed guys from the 3D printer, to ride on their robots and try to knock each other's off. So they weren't too rough, but the jimmies would fall off and they'd be out of the running. And they really enjoyed that. So I guess we'll have Bot Wars.
That's cool. Good socialization too of kids from different walks of life. So
absolutely.
All right. Well, we are still in our summer series where we are taking a little bit lighter approach to the show. We're trying to make it not quite as long, lighter kind of thematic topics. And we're actually going to break the chain here. We had kind of a series going on security, and now we're kind of in between kind of focus. We decided to take some time out and talk to some individuals who attended probably the premier technology and education conference by a group called ISTE. ISTE does a huge conference every year. This one was in Colorado. They'd been in all kinds of fun places in the past, but ISTE creates technology, educational technology standards. And it turns out there were probably six or seven Wells teachers or former Wells teachers in attendance at this year's ISTE. And we grabbed a couple of them and asked them to come on the show and talk about their experiences at the show. Both of them, I think, were first timers, you know, at the show, and give us their first impressions and tell us a little bit more about what ISTE is all about. So maybe the other teachers in our listening audience might be able to assess whether it might be a good use of time and resources to go next year, which happens to be in, I want to say, San Antonio.
Good memory. San Antonio, June 25th through 28th next year.
Right. It's always in the June timeframe, late June to after school gets out for most school districts. So we had a chance to talk with Rachel Pearson, who's been on the show before, and Perry Lund as well. Rachel is in Janesville, Minnesota, about your neck of the woods, Sally. Mm-hmm. And Perry Lund is further west, about as west as you can go, Evergreen Lutheran in Washington. So let's play that interview, and then we'll chit-chat a little bit about the conversation once we come back.
We have with us a couple of folks who attended probably the biggest education technology conference that is run, and that is ISTE. We've had both of them on the show before. Joining us from the Great Northwest, Perry Lund. Hey, Perry, how are you?
Very good, Martin. Thank you.
You want to introduce yourself and what you're up to these days?
Sure. Well, I've left the Midwest. I was in Iowa and received a call in the summer of 2013 to be a science math teacher at Evergreen Lutheran High School in Tacoma, Washington, and just happened to coincide with their moving to a new facility here, so that was exciting. So primarily teach science math and some computer classes, and then this last year added a semester of civics on top of that for fun. So that was interesting too. So, and in the process, I'm doing some of the technology work here. So, that's what I'm doing.
Very nice. And another friend of the show, Rachel Pearson. Hey, Rachel.
Good morning, afternoon, or whatever time it is when everybody's watching this.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. I'm Rachel Pearson. I served at Trinity in Waukesha, Wisconsin for 10 years, and then some family circumstances took me out of that area, and I'm currently living near Mankato, Minnesota, and teaching K through 6 STEM class in Janesville. So we get to do cool stuff like robotics and 3D printing and engineering stuff and giving the elementary kids a taste of what might be in their future. Very
cool.
Both
of you are new on the job, relatively speaking, and you met up with a number of other Wells teachers out in, was it San Diego, where ISTE was this year?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado. So I think San Diego was probably the year before. So maybe one of you could tell us just describe what the conference is all about from a high level.
Well, I'll take a crack at it. I did a little bit of prep work ahead of time here, so Sally, help me out, but I believe ISTE is International Society for Technology and Education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nonprofit, 501c, and basically they have an elected board of directors, and the main thing they do is put on this show, although they do, you know, print materials and have books and things like that. Currently their membership, I believe, is around 17,000. And that's across, it's an international society, so that's across 90 plus countries, and they have some corporate memberships and whatnot. So, but the focus is primarily tech education, and so that's what people go for is for the tech ed portion, I think.
Had either of you been to one before?
This was my first time going, even though I've been an ISTE member for probably 5 years now. I haven't attended the conference.
So what did it meet expectations? Was it what you thought it might be?
It was bigger than I thought. I didn't really do a whole lot of prep ahead of time as to what it would be like. I just knew a lot of people went, and it exceeded what I thought it was going to be.
And how many were in attendance in Denver this year? Do you have an idea?
I had heard, I thought it was going to be around 16,000. Some people were talking about 20,000. I'm not sure, but it was a large number of people.
All right. Well, I guess when you're faced with so many people, and I would assume a bajillion options of things that you could do to fill your days, I'm curious, you know, when I attend conferences, I usually try to at least find one thing that I'm going to adopt, one big takeaway that I got from it. So did you guys have particular takeaways that are going to impact your teaching this year?
Well, I think so. You're right. I actually only had about 2.5 weeks to prepare. I was a late attendee sign-up person, and so It was a little bit like turning on a fire hose. I think Drew Willems actually used that as a visual. It just comes right at you, and so it's hard to take it all in, especially if you're not prepared. And I think Rachel probably already said that's a lot of what it's like. It's so huge in scope. You know, my focus was to bring back some things that we're already doing at Evergreen. So some of mine revolved around Office 365 and some of the Microsoft side, but I also wanted to take a look at the computer science side. I teach some computer science and also some robotics and things like that. So I tried to get around to vendors that I knew on the floor and just take in as much as I could without being overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Rachel?
Easy to get overwhelmed. I mean, just opening up that program guide and searching for sessions that you might want to go to, you have to put in a keyword because there are just so many offerings. There's no way you could get to things that you wanted to do, all of them that you wanted to do. One of the things they had that was most beneficial, I think, was the playground areas where people were bringing in their devices, bringing in their drones, robots, things like that, where you could go and have a hands-on experience with them, and they would talk to you about what they had done in their classrooms with this kind of thing. So I was mainly looking for things I could bring back to my STEM classroom and make sure that I was kind of aligned with what the rest of the world was doing, and I found that I am on the right track. There are things that I'll improve always every year, but I think the most valuable thing was the networking. I met a lot of people in person that I had only followed on Twitter before, And that was huge. Just meeting them in person and being able to have a face-to-face conversation was awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the neat things, too, was the ability to not only see people that you would only see virtually online, but a lot of the sessions that were run by educators. And so you got their perspective and not the vendor's perspective of how things go. But in the background, a lot of times the company's engineers or people who actually build the products were there. And so if there were questions that the educators couldn't answer, they had a backup. And so I really appreciated, you know, being able to talk to the people who work on the products in a lot of cases, and that was nice too.
Now, ISTE is a standards body as well. They produce technology standards. How did that play into maybe keynotes or the breakout sessions or sectionals or whatever they're called? Did those come through? Because they're obviously working at setting the bar for especially the classes that you guys are involved with. How did that come into play at the conference, or did it?
They did release their new updated version of their standards for students. You can check those out on their website, which is ISTE.org. I don't have them, you know, fully in my head at the moment, but I know that they did have a session where they walked through which standards they'd be, or that they had posters that you could take of the new standards. And I know they had worked for a couple of years talking with educators and forward thinking, what are the kids going to need as we move forward in the next, you know, I don't know how often their standards are refreshed, but they were really looking forward, what are the kids going to need? And I think a lot of it relied on, you know, there was a digital citizenship portion. The 4 C's are definitely important in their standards. Yeah, I missed the session where they were actually talking about them, but...
Yeah, I've got them here just for reference, and you're right, Rachel. So the idea of digital citizenship, empowering the learner, the global collaborator, the creative communicator. One of the things I work on anyway with my computer science class is the computational thinker and the innovative designer. So, yeah, very much future-oriented. I read somewhere where 72% of our workforce will be a mobile workforce by 2020, and so it really... That really plays into it. You know, what are we doing to prepare our kids for that? And so I think ISTE brings a lot to the table in that regard. And not only does ISTE have standards for students, but they have them for teachers and for administrators too. And so it's a well-balanced package, I think.
Excellent. Well, I'm always curious to learn about new hardware, software, websites, anything like that. Did you experience anything that you'd want to share with our listeners?
There are so many things.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I have most on my brain, and I think this is one of the big things that came out of it, was Google Cast for Education, where the students will be able to share their screens with the teacher for presentation in front of the classroom without any additional hardware. As long as you're on the same network, you should be fine for that. And then I'm really looking forward to, it's called Buncee, B-U-N-C-E-E. I haven't had a chance to play around with it a lot, but it's kind of like a bulletin board Padlet type thing. I'm still discovering ways that I could use it in my classroom next year, but it's one of the things that I'm looking forward to trying out.
Cool.
I don't have anything specific necessarily. I was a little bit overwhelmed, but you know, I talked to the Lego curriculum people because of robotics. So I was also impressed. There was a portion of the expo dedicated to Maker stuff, and so Minecraft and the various different Maker projects that involve somewhat of the robotics side and the 3D printing. So, but I just got my feet wet, you know, in that area. But that was pretty exciting to see.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole vendor floor was completely overwhelming.
I can imagine.
Fun. In a good way. Yes.
You kind of look, these shows are, one of their objectives usually is to at least point the future, you know, kind of paint a picture of what the future might look like. Did you get a sense either at a macro or a micro level, where things are headed in the spaces that you work? How's the future different than the present?
There was a lot of focus on student-centered learning and almost even personalized learning instead of we talk about it as the sage on the stage, your teacher delivering a lot of the instruction and content and letting instead the kids discover it for themselves and the teacher more as a guide showing them through that content. The opening keynote was all about what might the future hold? And he talked about, I'm going to butcher his name if I try to say it. Barry, do you have it in front of you?
I don't.
Michio Kaku, yeah. Is that his name?
Yeah, Kaku, I think is the way you say it. Yep.
And he was a physicist, or is a physicist, mm-hmm. I should say. And he talked about, how we would have interactive wallpaper in our houses and augmented reality surgeries and all these amazing things that could be coming in the future. I mean, and not even that far in the future. So there's a lot of amazing stuff that's being created out there.
All right. It's good stuff. Yeah, I agree. The idea towards student ownership of learning and moving away ever so slowly, but surely away from the sage on the stage is definitely a trend. And that's a difficult thing, it's something that not our teacher education programs don't necessarily take into consideration. So that's a tough thing moving forward, but it is a little risky. It feels like it's out of control sometimes in the classroom, but you can start small. It's not a wholesale change or anything like that. I think Rachel would agree. So it's something just you can dabble your toes in and start slowly and move that way. So, but technology plays a big part of that. We don't put the technology in the classroom for the sake of technology. There's, we want to have definite reasons why we use it. So,
yeah.
So would you go again, one, and two, if somebody couldn't make it and maybe wanted to benefit from the conference itself, how would you advise them to do that? Are there resources out there? That they could view, were there videos that were recorded, or is there PowerPoints on the website, etc.?
Yeah, go ahead, Rachel.
Okay, I was going to say there's a huge contingent of people who were using the hashtag not at ISTE. And I know there were a lot of people sharing information and sharing all things education technology with not at ISTE. I mean, they had a Google group, they had a Voxer group, they were very active on Twitter. So even if they weren't at the conference, they still kind of had the spirit of the conference as they communicated with each other. Google Hangouts and everything going on, outside of the conference, but simultaneously. And I know a lot of the keynotes and a lot of interviews and things were recorded on video, and I think ISTE will be putting those out sometime in the future.
Good, great.
Yeah, I did receive emails that they're starting to put some of those videos out. I don't know if it requires a login with your ISTE account or if those will be publicly available, but I found that the Twitter and the hashtags that go along with it are very helpful, and it's great for professional development and just staying in the loop. So that's something I know I want to encourage my teachers to do is to use Twitter as a professional development tool. I know a lot of them aren't quite there yet, but it's very useful.
So are you going back, Perry?
I probably will. I don't know that I would do it next year necessarily. We'll see. But I think it's definitely worth attending. My background is more college computer science, and so I attended ACM conventions, which are similar for the college level. So there's a lot of value in them. I don't know if I would go every year, but I think I will return at some point, yes.
I'd probably have to echo Perry's sentiment that it is a valuable thing to attend. Do you have to attend every year? I'm sure they'd like you to. but it is, like as we've been saying, it's easy to get overwhelmed with the amount of content that's there. And I always remember one of my mentor teachers at Trinity, Sue Brown, always said, pick one horse and ride it. It's easy to get overwhelmed with all sorts of things, and if you just decide, I'm going to take this one concept and I'm going to work on this one thing, that way it'll help you not get overwhelmed. So in the future, I'd like to go again, but I don't know if next year necessarily will be on my radar.
And I think that advice that Rachel just gave is good that she received. That is, find something you want to focus on. It's not that you can't do other things while you're at ISTE, but if you have a focus, you'll learn a lot more, and you can take that back to your other teachers and administrators and whatnot. So I think it's definitely good to plan to have some kind of a focus so that overwhelming feeling isn't so terrible.
Very good. Well, I am going to add to the show notes a video from Alan November, kind of addresses some of those things that you were talking about. Someone from Tech and Learning magazine actually interviewed him at ISTE, and he's kind of a ed tech think tank kind of guy. He's out there and does a lot of speaking and things on educational technology, and he addresses that thought of going beyond just having the devices, but changing the way we learn and things, and that future thinking. And so I think it'll tie in well to what you guys have said and give our listeners some more insight in that area. So we'll be sure to include that in the show notes, and a shout out to Drew Willems. He was another attendee, and he actually shared that video. So appreciate that, Drew.
Thank you guys for taking the time to share with us, and we look forward to maybe getting some more information from you and from the conference itself. That will help the rest of the teachers of the Senate. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Lots of enthusiasm from Rachel and Perry and Sally. I've never been to ISTE. I don't think you have either, but I think that's something that I'm going to put on my list, at least to go once and experience that the excitement that is ISTE. There's, you know, tens of thousands of people there, all kind of excited about technology and education. And Rachel and Perry were no different.
Yeah, I think it would be overwhelmingly wonderful. I'd like to have that problem, because just being around that many people that are enthusiastic about it, that have experience with it, so you can learn from others and see their joys and challenges they've experienced, and then being able to walk on that showroom floor where you can actually talk with the vendors, see
any
them demonstrate
who
their products.
Worth right. their salt probably wants to be there and is going to spend the money and give you a chance to have hands-on. I think it's challenging sometimes to know, you know, what makes sense in your mm-hmm. environment, unless you can actually kind of talk to somebody, have them talk and demo it. It's only so much you can see in videos online. This is a good opportunity to kind of see that stuff.
Absolutely. I know I'm the kind of learner that enjoys seeing something demonstrated, so it would be a big benefit.
Right. And as they mentioned, there's all kinds of resources that are available even if you couldn't attend, so you can kind of enjoy some of the good stuff that was going on there in Colorado in June here, even if you didn't get a chance to go. So, and I'm sure Rachel and Perry would be happy to respond if you had specific questions that they could answer.
Yep. Good stuff. I think we should talk a little bit about a photo challenge we've been running for a while.
It's been almost a year. Right?
It's been a year. Yeah, definitely has.
And now is the time to kind of end the challenge and kind of dole out the kudos and also some prizes that go along with that. So which category should we start with? We should explain what it is if we've got some first-time listeners as well.
Sure, that's a great idea.
Some of that information.
Sure. It was last August, Martin, when you and I were working together on an image editing kind of series in our summer series last summer, and we came up with the idea of doing a photo challenge. So for the last 12 months, we've announced topics and posted images that were submitted on Flickr. We created a photo album on Flickr, and everything in our Wells Tech Photo Challenge album is public domain. So as people donated to the challenge, they gave up their rights to it so that we could publish it as public domain. And many times we had church-related themes. So there's stained glass out here, and there's communion pictures and confirmation pictures and a lot of other beautiful photography of summertime and flowers and other topics as well. Oftentimes we had a verse image to go along with the month, and so there would be images that have Bible verses overlaid on them. And I guess to me, I was just overwhelmed at the quality of images we received as donations and the quantity. If you noticed up here at the top, it says there's 939 photos. So the public domain is that much richer to have these beautiful photos as part of it, and we invite you to make use of them for your church or school, for whatever settings you might need. So, yep, there's some verse images with beautiful feet, and they're kind of all scattered throughout here. We have, I don't know, 11 or 12 pages, lengthy pages of beautiful photography that are part of the Photo Challenge album. So thanks to everyone who contributed, including Martin and I. There were 40 people who have added images to the Photo Challenge album. And I said this to you the other day, it must have been, you know, for the reason of sharing all these beautiful images, certainly, that we just didn't have any idea when we started that we'd end up with 939 images, such a great collection. So right. It's a good thing.
Yep. And to kind of incent people, although I don't know that a lot of people needed incenting, certainly, but we decided, well, at the end of this, we're going to give away some prizes for some categories. Let's maybe start with the random photographer. Anybody who entered was entered into this drawing. So anybody who uploaded a photo, just even one, throughout the course of the year was entered into, you know, this this random drawing of 40 people. And before the show, we created a list and drew some random numbers. And Sally, who was the winner of our random photographer category?
I am happy to announce the winner was Pastor Steve Daly, our nice friend, longtime friend of the Wells Tech podcast. He's over serving in, I believe, South Haven, Michigan, and submitted several different times throughout the year. And so congratulations, Pastor Daly. You're going to win a $49 gift certificate for a lens sampler on the Photo JoJo website. Photo JoJo has all kinds of goodies, and one of the things they have in terms of lenses is the sampler kit, which includes lenses for your smartphone, for the telephoto, fisheye, and wide and macro lenses. So three nice lenses for your smartphone, and it's good on Android and iPhone. So,
or you can use it for whatever you want on that site. And we'll round it to $50 just to make it easy. So congratulations, Steve. That's neat. And thank you for your submissions as well. Maybe the next one would be the most original image. Now, this was very subjective. Sally and I went through every image and looked at all of them, and we wanted to find something that was representative of the topic, but also unique in its own right. And this was a hard choice. There were a lot to choose from, and the most original image, Sally, was
submitted by Cassandra Thomas. I have it up on my screen right now. If you're watching the video, you can see it's a lovely black and white image of a child whose hands are folded in prayer and an elderly woman helping her fold her hands. And so just a generational type image, certainly the focus on prayer. And I believe this was actually submitted as part of our VBS, Vacation Bible School Challenge, because this was a Vacation Bible School image that was taken. And so thank you, Cassandra.
Taken on June 9th. One of the things that kind of gives it maybe even a little more depth, and this is a good tip, is it's in black and white. Mm-hmm. So you really focus on the subjects. You're not looking at, the background or those kinds of things. It's very well done, very simple, but I think gets the point across. So congratulations, Cassandra, nicely done. And you also win the same gift as the random photographer, and that is a $50 gift certificate to Photo JoJo's website, and you can purchase whatever you like there. So, awesome. Sally, what's our last category?
Well, the last category was an incentive for folks to submit every single month. So we had 12 different challenges, 12 months, which they could participate. And there were a few who made it all the way through, submitted pictures that went with each and every month. And so of those people that submitted every month, we put their names in the random number generator, and we came up with a winner. And this winner gets a little larger prize, Martin. And maybe you want to tell folks who the winner is.
And this person also probably would get the prize for most photos submitted as well. And her name is Naomi Green. She in large part really increased the value, I think, of our a collection. Not only does she, I think, take photos for a living, but she really was very creative in the process of submitting these, constructing different things each month. And not only did she just submit one a month, there were, you know, sometimes dozens each month, and really just some awesome things that I think people will be able to take advantage of for years to come, because they are so fitting to lots of different topics. So, Naomi, congratulations, and maybe even more than congratulations, thank you for all the submissions that you made to the photo challenge.
Absolutely. And her prize is, like I said, ups the ante a little. We're giving her her choice of websites. So there's the Photo JoJo site we've mentioned, and specifically some of those lenses or larger lens collections for smartphone. Another site, Oloclip, has nice lenses for iPhone specifically. And so she'll have her choice between the two sites, and we'll get her a gift certificate around $100, depending on which site she chooses.
Very nice. So if you are interested in seeing those photos, where would we send them, Sally?
Well, the photo album direct link is bit.ly/WT Challenge Album. It's kind of long, for Wells Tech Challenge Album. And you certainly can surf on over to the Wells Tech site. There's a link in the sidebar that takes you to the Challenge Album. And there's also information if you want to keep submitting images. No more prizes to be had, but you could certainly continue to add to our album, and we'll have information on the show notes and on the website about that.
Yeah, and maybe along the road we'll make some suggestions for, you know, what we could use yet in the collection, and some themes like we've been doing. I thought that went really well, and hopefully build up the collection, just be something really useful for you folks that put images, want to use stock photography on your websites especially. I think these are prime candidates for that. So watch for that. And neat. I think a smashing success, Sally.
Absolutely. I actually just wrapped up teaching an image editing class for MLC, and I was happy to point my students to this collection of images, and some of them made use of it. I could see some of the images coming up in some of the projects that they were designing for the class. So I think people definitely see it as an asset, a valuable thing, something you want to bookmark and visit often.
Now we've reached the point in our show where we dedicate some time to some picks that Sally and I make over the course of the week. A pick of the week that is something that we found useful, interesting, something that we wanted to pass along, either useful for us or we find that might be useful for you. And we always go ladies first. Sally, what's your pick this week?
How polite of you. My pick is actually a Chrome extension specifically for Google Calendar. It's called Event Merge for Google Calendar. And if you choose to add this to Chrome, it actually adds a little icon, and it works when you go to your Google Calendar. And if you're seeing my screen, you can tell that it makes some of your Google Calendar events stripe it. And what that indicates is if you have an event that occurs on multiple calendars, that you are subscribed to, then it basically overlays those events and stripes it with the colors of the different calendars involved. It could be just two calendars that share it or more than two, and it shows up in all the different views of the calendar, the week view, the month view. They all have this indication of the overlapping stripes. So you don't get the same event side by side by side. Instead, you get the one event with overlapping colors. And this was just one extension that I heard about through the Better Cloud Monitor. It used to be the Google Guru site, and they got bought by Better Cloud Monitor, and they announced these extensions. And so I'll have a link in the show notes to a YouTube video where they demonstrate this one along with a couple of others. There's one called G-Classify, I believe. I'm trying to get my mouse to behave, and let me scroll down to my notes, which G-Calize is what it's called, and it color codes your calendar, allows you to add different colors even on the same calendar, which typically your calendar is just one color, but you could change the colors of your events within the same calendar. And then one called Toggle Button, which is a time tracker that you can use with your calendar and has some Pomodoro techniques involved and things like that. So they explain all three of those. My pick, the GCal Event Merge, and then those other two in this one YouTube video. So be sure to check that out and find out about some new capabilities of your Google Calendar.
So I would think, I don't know what use cases you thought of when you saw this. One thing that, one of them that I can think of is if you share calendars with family members or team members, if you view them all together, they're going to get that stacked approach, so that you got this little teeny sliver. So if you're all going to the zoo, or if you all are working on VBS, or you all have church or Bible class or whatever, this will, from what I understand you saying, this will put them into one item versus three or four.
Correct.
If you're viewing those at the same time.
Which is really nice. I use this kind of capability a lot in Outlook, so I was excited to see it.
Come to Outlook. I'm not aware that it exists.
Oh, yeah. You can, well, maybe not to this extent. Maybe it's a little bit different what I'm thinking of. Yeah, but you can definitely overlay.
The ability to kind of blend them together.
Right. Correct.
Overlays. Yeah.
Correct. So, yeah, this is a step further even than what I do in Outlook. And, yeah, I was very excited to see it.
Chrome extension. So you have to have Chrome, I'm assuming, for this to work. Okay.
Right. It's not just that you surf over to your Google Calendar and it happens like an add-on to Google Calendar. Instead, it's an extension, and you press a button, and then they merge together in this way.
Right. Okay. Very good. Let's see if I can pull up my pick here real quickly. My pick of the week are a couple websites related to ISTE. I wanted to do a little bit more research based on our interview, and found a couple sites that I think would be helpful to you as you're considering, especially standards for your, specifically your school. One site that is ISTE related is called K12blueprint.com. This is sponsored by Tech and Learning magazine, a monthly magazine. Maybe it's even weekly. I don't remember. Monthly.
I think so.
A couple of other sponsors. And they have a regular newsletter, and then this website, which includes all kinds of cool things related to standards, and specifically those that are education related. There are toolkits related to bring your own device, funding, piloting, and proof of concepts, policy and leadership, privacy, STEM, one-to-one infrastructure, digital curriculum. I mean, all kinds of things that are great resources here. They've got solutions, which are little kind of vignettes around different technologies that you could put together. So there's one on Windows, there's one on Chromebooks. They have some apps, an app finder. They have a news section, and they have regular bloggers who come in here as well. So their news section obviously would key in on what was going on at ISTE, a lot of stuff related to that. And one of their items is referencing a report that came from ISTE called ISTE Standards, Redefining Learning in a Technology-Driven World. It's a report to support adoption of the ISTE standards for students. Very scholarly work, but I think great background if you are serious about getting these standards into your curriculum. There's a section on methodology, what went into the research. One of the neat things about this particular report is they obviously cite all their resources, and most of these are publicly available resources. So if you want to bone up on how to kind of attack standards and the things that go into them, there's some great art, great content here. This was published in June of 2016. There's a section on digital citizenship, on curation, blended learning, design processes, and the maker movement, being a global citizen, just all kinds of good things when you're trying to figure out how this all fits into your educational environment and your curriculum in particular. So I think this is probably almost a must read, very well done, and I think would be gold in the hands of a committee that's working on standard technology standards for your particular school. So those links will be in the show notes, so take advantage of those.
That's awesome. I'm excited to see that they release their updates, and that's what you and Gail and I talked about not that long ago,
right,
was how we were hoping for more standards and things. So it's really great to see that finally released.
Right. Sally, even though we don't have any this week to share, I want to mention that we are always accepting community feedback. And the way to get that feedback to us is many and varied, and hopefully available to anybody who wants to give us feedback. And that feedback can take the form of almost anything. It can be a question, a comment, a suggestion, corrections, you know, mm-hmm. things.
Imagine that.
Correcting. Just go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and across the top, you're going to see a whole litter of icons, social network type icons. We have a listserv, also where you can find our podcast and where you can download it, either in audio or video. You can also send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. We get a lot of those. And the ability to even leave us a voicemail is right on that page as well. So go to wellstech.wells.net and join the conversation, as we say. Sally, we're going to do this again next week. What do we have for the good people?
Well, we are going to kick off our final series of the summer. As promised in early June when we talked about all our different series, we are planning to talk about self-publishing, and that's to wrap up our recent Wells Tech book project. Just a few months ago, we wrote the final chapter on our project management book called With All Your Heart, and now we're hoping to be able to get that published in an actual paper book format via the Amazon tools that are available. And so we're going to let you follow along with us as we tread this new road and see what happens. We want to start by talking about how we published it online using a relatively new tool from Microsoft called Microsoft Sway. So that's the focus of next week's show.
Very nice. So tune in next week. Sally, thanks for your participation as usual. Well done. Thanks also to our listeners and viewers. Thank you for tuning in each week. Even if you tune in, you know, every once in a while, you're always welcome, and we're happy that you do so. So we hope to see you or talk to you next week. Blessings. Bye-bye.